They call it Little Venice. That's what drew me here. And if you could see me now, sitting here at the window of my terraced house overlooking the canal, you'd have to admit to a curious resemblance, at least for people like myself, people with imagination. For when the discordant noises of the shunting from Paddington Station, the rattle of the trains, and the ugliness vanish, we're left with the yellow light from the street lamps, a light which could easily be the mysterious glow from old lanterns, clinging to some crumbling palazzo, looking down upon a side canal. So here I am, alone. Well, not entirely alone. There's a street across the canal with a few shops in it, leading up towards Paddington Station. And on the right is an Italian restaurant called Mario's. They know me there. I go there every day. You see, there's a boy learning to be a waiter, and he reminds me... Oh, he reminds me so much of Ganymede. So much of Ganymede.
You come to Venice before, signor?
No.
Ah, you will fall in love with Venice.
I'm sure I will.
Where do you normally take your holidays, signor?
Devon.
Devon? Where is Devon?
In England. I stay with my sister there.
Ah, it's good, e buono.
Yes. She's ill at the moment, and she persuaded me
to... Signore, if you look to the right, there is famous palazzo. Venice is so beautiful.
Is it much further?
Signor?
The hotel, is it much further?
No. We shall be there soon.
It was at dinner that I first saw him. He was bringing a drink to a man at the next table. Suddenly, I did not exist. Every fiber, every nerve of my body seemed to turn to jelly. In a matter of seconds, I was transformed. I'm a classical scholar, and to see that boy, well, it was like seeing Ganymede waiting on Zeus, his master, the giver of life and death, the immortal one, the lover. I summoned the boy, and he came.
Yes, signor?
You
like a drink, signor?
Please, yes. Bring me a curacao, will you?
Certainly.
Ah, signor, you have settled in, yes?
Oh, yes, thank you. I've settled in.
It's good. The food is okay?
Oh, yes, the food is excellent. Tell me...
Yes, signor, what can I do for you?
The young waiter over there.
You having trouble with one of the waiters, signor?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. That boy, the good-looking one next to that fat boy. Do you see?
That is Marco.
Oh.
Yes, very nice boy. Hard working. He want to own big hotel one day. He has ambition. He's very polite. You like him, signor? He's good. Good evening, signor.
Your curacao, signor.
Well, thank you.
Can I get you anything else?
No, thank you.
Then I wish you good night. I shall be going off duty soon.
Well, good night, then.
Good night, signor.
Before going to bed, I took a walk across the deserted piazza, passing under the colonnades by the Doge's palace. The lights were no longer bright, but dim, and the damp wind troubled the waters and rocked the rows of gondolas. As I stopped to light a cigarette, I saw in the shadows of the colonnades my Ganymede talking to a stranger, a man in a white raincoat and a broad-brimmed trilby hat. The man was smiling at him, and in that brief moment, I experienced evil. I had waited for Ganymede to come off duty. I had to find out where he lived, to talk to him as a friend, to tell him about that man. I quickly followed him, and then, after only a few minutes, he vanished in the darkness. I began to run. I ran into a narrow passage where the tall houses nearly touched their neighbors opposite, and as I did so, he, Ganymede, was standing in front of a great door with an iron grill before it, pulling the bell. The door opened and he went inside. I turned to go. Then a figure stepped out of a doorway close to me. At once I recognized him. It was the man in the white Macintosh.
You are looking for someone, Signor.
No. I was taking a walk.
In all this rain?
Well, it wasn't raining when I left the hotel. I seem to have lost my way.
So you have missed the way. It happened all the time in Venice. Allow me to see you home, see?
Thank you, but I can manage. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound ungrateful.
It's not important. See, the rain is stopping. Come, I take you back to the hotel. You are tourist, Signor?
Yes.
You like Venice?
Very much.
Everybody does. Everybody like Venice. You cannot help yourself, right?
Right. It's my first visit.
Is it? Venice very expensive. In the hotels, always they rob you. It's terrible. It makes me very sad. Where are you staying? Your hotel, Signor. At what hotel are you staying?
The Hotel Baron.
I bet they're taking the skin off your back. Be careful here. It's very narrow. Look, my friend, tomorrow you tell them to go to hell, huh? I find you a little apartment, very cheap, very buono.
Thank you, but I'm quite satisfied at the Hotel Baron.
Listen to me, my friend. In a little apartment, you can do what you like. You can see the friends who please you. Nobody to worry.
Well, nobody worries me at the Hotel Baron. Excuse me.
I find you the little apartment.
I can find my own way now, thank you.
Signor! Ah!
I turned. The splash of his great body was rocking the gondolas. I stared for a moment, too surprised to do anything. And then I did a terrible thing. I ran away.
Ah, good evening, Signor. You have a pleasant day?
Yes, thank you. I went to the Lido.
The Lido, eh? Mm. You have a good day, but very tiring. You catch the 6 o'clock steamer back, yes?
Yes.
You like your key, Signor?
Yes, please. Has anyone been asking for me while I've been out?
No, Signor.
There were no messages of any kind?
Only this letter from England.
Oh, yes, that'll be from my sister. Probably writing to know if I've arrived safely.
You expecting a message from someone here in Venice, Signor?
No, not really.
If anything come, I'll let you know. Now, you go into the restaurant and have quiet drink before it start to get busy, eh? Very relaxing after a day at the Lido.
That's a good idea. I'll do that.
Buonasera, Signor.
Good evening.
Your usual drink?
Please.
No rain tonight. Tonight everybody is happy.
Yes.
I will get your drink, Signor.
He'd come over to me as soon as I entered. He had smiled at me and I had returned that smile. If anything had been wrong, if he'd been anxious about the man in the white Macintosh, surely there would have been some sort of hint, some warning glance. I sat down, and then he was beside me again, placing a glass of Curacao in front of me. Thank you. Tell me...
Yes, Signor?
Don't you ever get tired?
No, never. My work is a pleasure.
Mm. You don't go to school?
School? Finito school. I am a man. I work for my living, to keep my mother and my sister.
I see. Do they pay you well here?
In the season, it's not too bad. But the season is over. 2 more weeks and it is finished.
What will you do then?
I do not know yet. Perhaps I go to Roma. I have lots of friends in Roma.
You go to Rome alone?
Yes.
What would you like to do?
Pardon?
With your life.
I should like to go to London.
London?
Yes, Signor. I should like to go to one of those big hotels there. I think it is impossible, though. I have no friends in London.
Well, that's not strictly true, is it?
I do not know anyone in London.
You know me. As it happens, I have a friend who is a director of one of the hotels in Park Lane.
Park Lane? Oh, that is famous.
It is indeed.
And you might be able to get me a job in one of those hotels?
I can try. I can't promise, of course, but with a little pulling of strings.
Oh, thank you, Signor. Oh, it is easy when you know how. Oh, you're so kind, so kind. Thank you, thank you.
Well, I must go upstairs and have a shower. I'd like you to have this.
Oh, it's such a large tip, Signor. I do not deserve so...
For your mother and little sister.
Thank you, Signor. Adomani.
Adomani. Avanti.
Excuse me, Signor.
Yes?
I am told to say that it would be kind if you would vacate the room by midday, Signor.
I beg your pardon?
The room, Signor. I understand you leave today.
Well, there must be some mistake.
I'm afraid it is impossible for you to stay here.
Well, then you must find me another room.
I'm afraid we cannot.
What?
The hotel is full.
Do you mean to say you're asking me to vacate this room and yet you haven't any other accommodation to offer me for the remainder of my holiday?
Not in this building, Signor.
Well, what do you mean, this building?
Please, allow me to explain. You see, I recommend very comfortable little flat. The management use from time to time as annex for such difficulties as this. No extra charge. And you even have private bath.
It's all very well, but this is very upsetting. I mean, to be told suddenly, Well, all my things are unpacked.
I quite understand how you feel, Signor. We do everything to help you. We even pack for you.
No, thank you, no. I'll do my own packing, if you don't mind. There must be some mistake.
No, Signor.
But this is impossible.
The room does not please you.
Please me? It's beautiful. Overlooks the Grand Canal. Wonderful view, private bath. I mean, it's too much. Are you sure this room is the same price as the one in the hotel?
The same price, sir. No difference.
But it's overwhelming. Even flowers by the bed.
A small gesture on behalf of the management.
What do I do about breakfast?
You ring, Signor. Just ring. They answer below, then they bring it. Your key. And I hope the remainder of your stay will be a happy one.
I'm sure it will be. Thank you.
Good day, Signor.
Good day. Avanti. Oh, my God. You.
Buongiorno, Signor. I tell you, I arrange everything. Very nice apartment. Very okay, huh?
There were 10 days of my holiday left. 10 days to spend in this delicious apartment. The fat man said nothing about his fall into the canal, so rightly or wrongly, I assumed he bore me no ill feeling. Still, I decided to lock everything before I left the room. But my suspicions were unfounded, so I wrote a letter to my friend asking him if he could take on a new trainee waiter. And then I went to the restaurant of the Baden Hotel. Ganymede stood just inside the door, as if he was waiting there, especially for me. I've written to my friend in London. You remember the one I told you about? He's a director of a big hotel in Park Lane. I hope to have an answer from him in a few days.
I do not know what to say, Signor.
You'll have to give me your name and address and all your particulars. And, I suppose, a reference from your employer.
Oh, my uncle, too, who owns the apartment. He will speak for me. This signor has only to ask my uncle.
He? Is he your uncle?
Yes, signor.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's a very comfortable apartment. Do you know it?
Naturally, senor. It is I who will bring your breakfast each morning while you are there.
You?
Yes, senor. Me, Marco.
Avanti.
Buongiorno. You slept well?
Very well, Marco.
Your breakfast, senor.
Ah.
I hope you have a good appetite.
Thank you. Oh, before you go, Marco, do you ever have a day off?
On Sundays, I take it in turn with Beppo.
Hmm? Beppo?
He's my cousin. He is the fat one.
Oh, yes. And what do you do on your day off?
I go out with my friends.
Well, if you have nothing better to do, and you're free next Sunday, I'd like to take you for a trip to the Lido.
In the speedboat, senor?
Well, well, surely on a Sunday they'll all be booked.
Oh, no. My uncle knows a man who has speedboats for hire. They can be hired for the whole day.
Oh, well, we'll see. It depends on the weather, of course.
Oh, the weather will be fine. It will stay fine for the rest of the week. You will see.
All right, Marco. If it's fine, we'll go.
Marco tell you the weather will come fine, senor. Eh?
Yes.
You are not happy?
Yes, I'm happy, Marco.
Of course he is happy. Everyone is happy in Venice. This is a fine boat, eh, senor?
Yes.
Today we shall go the places. Today we have the fun.
Must we go so fast?
Fast. This is not fast, senor. We break the record soon. This the most powerful boat in all Venice.
Why did he have to come? That great fat slug stood there at the wheel in a revolting bright orange shirt. I wanted to be alone with Ganymede. Have the day together. A quiet, reflective day. Alone. And now that monster stood beside me, heading out into the Adriatic to show off his skill as a helmsman.
You watch the boat rise, senor. Look, watch the boat rise.
And all the time, while I clung fearfully to the side of the boat, Marco, my Ganymede, stood in the prow, reveling in every moment, his light hair tossed about in the breeze, joyous and free. He was my only consolation, and the sight of him there, turning now and again to smile at me, prevented me from ordering an instant return to Venice. And if that wasn't enough, this uncle, this fat monster of a man, dragged me along to meet all his relatives in a noisy, airless restaurant at the Lido. I sat down, defeated. The uncle had taken over.
What a marvelous day, senor, eh? What a wonderful day.
Look,
It is a great honor, senor, that you invite my family to lunch like this. You see how happy they are.
You see how Marco is so pleased, senor. He is almost moved to have the tears. He loves his family. He wants you to love them, too.
I hadn't expected a party. I'm afraid I haven't brought enough money.
Don't worry. Non importante. Not to worry. You leave the bill to me. We settle later. Senor, I want to thank you for what you are doing for Marco. It is much appreciated by the family. I cannot believe it that soon he will be in London.
Well, nothing is settled yet, you understand. I mean, I only wrote the letter the other day.
It will be all right. I know it will be all right. We will all go. We all make the one big party. We will all go to London and set the, how do you say, we set the Thames on fire, eh?
Why have we stopped? What are you going to do now?
I water ski. I follow you home to Venice on my skis.
Well, do you think you ought to? I mean...
There is nothing to fear. Marco is young and strong.
Yes, I know, but...
You sit here, and you loose out the rope.
What do I have to do?
There he go. You see Marco swim like the fish. You see, Signor, how graceful he move, huh?
Yes. And all I do is let out the rope?
That's all, Signor. Are we ready?
The boat gathered momentum, and soon it sped over the water at top speed. The rope, made fast to the bollard, held, though I still clung to the end, while in our wake the small figure of Ganymede, like a young god, was silhouetted against the reddening sky. The boat swung out in an arc, and Ganymede raised his hand to me in salutation, a smile of triumph on his face. He was happy. As the craft swung into the strait again and bounced away on its course, the fat uncle signaled me, pointing to the rope on the bollard. I didn't know whether he wanted me to loosen it or make it more secure, and I did the wrong thing. I jerked it. Ganymede overbalanced and was flung into the water. He must have hurt himself, for I saw that he made no attempt to swim.
Go astern! For God's sake, go astern!
That monster didn't see how close we were to the boy. There was a mass of churning water and tangled rope. And when I looked over the side, I saw the slim body of Ganymede drawn into the suction of the propeller, his legs enmeshed. I bent down to lift him clear, but he slipped from the hands which struggled to hold him. And the water turned crimson with his blood.
It is this man's fault. It is all his fault.
Would you please sit down, sir? This is the British consulate, not some bar.
There is damage to the speedboat. The cost of the water ski smashed beyond repair. Then there is the charge for the boat which tow us back to Venice. The telephone call from the quayside for the ambulance.
Oh, good God, listen to him. Just listen to him. His nephew is dead and all...
Gentlemen, please.
He has agreed to pay for everything but everything.
Is that true? Have you?
Yes.
You have accepted full responsibility.
Yes, I have. I'll telegraph my bank in London. I can't raise the cash immediately, but I agree to pay so much a week, so much a month, the rest of my life if need be.
This gentleman, he write to his friend in London about my nephew. Perhaps already there is a job waiting for the boy, a job he can no longer take. I have a son, Beppo. Also a very good boy, known to the gentleman here. This gentleman is so fond of boys, he follow them home. Yes, I see him with my own eyes. He follow Marco home one night. Beppo would like to come to London in place of his poor cousin. This gentleman can arrange it, perhaps. He write again to his friend, eh?
Is that true, what he says? Did you follow his nephew home?
Yes. It is true.
Marco, very well brought up boy. My son the same, never give any trouble. All the money they earn, they give to the family. My nephew, he had very great trust in this gentleman, and he tell all the family, his mother, sister, that this gentleman will take him back to London. His mother, she buy a new dress, and his sister, too. She buy new clothes for the boy to go to London. Now she ask herself, what happened to the clothes? They cannot be worn. They are of no use.
How many more times do I have to say it? I'll pay. I'll pay. So here I am. Alone in little Venice. It passes, of course. The horror of the accident. Of sudden death. My life has become rather different now, as you can imagine. I gave up my good job. I moved here. I've dropped my friends. In a word, I've changed. I still see my sister from time to time, but that's all. It's 7 o'clock. The restaurant down the road will soon be open, And I'd like to be there on time. The fact is, there's a boy there training to be a waiter. He celebrates his 15th birthday this evening. And I have a little present for him. Nothing much, you understand. You mustn't spoil them. He likes bright colors. So I rather thought this blue and gold cravat I'm wearing might catch his eye.